Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. The Bird Show.
How's everybody's weekend this weekend, Mo? How you feeling, man?
I'm all right. I'm good. It was a busy weekend for me, so I didn't get to rest my knee as much as I would have liked to, but it's cool. I was able to make it over to a podcast convention on Saturday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Charlamagne had a Black Effect podcast convention.
He did.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool.
Here in Atlanta?
Here in Atlanta.
Oh, cool.
He does it once a year in Atlanta. So I made it to that Sunday. I was at Dave & Buster's for Bert's Big Adventure Reunion, and then I also took a trip over to, it was like a movie premiere for a movie that's coming out at Tyler Perry Studios called Old Maid Gracie, and it's about dementia. They're focusing on dementia and how that affects families and people all over the world, which was really good. So it was a busy weekend for me. I was limping all around Atlanta.
Doctor's order, stay in bed. There he is, yeah. All over Atlanta. Tell me about Tyler Perry Studios. What do those things look like?
The premiere?
I haven't been to the studios.
I haven't been to the studios either. This was a premiere that was at, it was like an Atlanta Film Festival premiere. Oh. And they were showcasing one of the films that this guy did out of Tyler Perry Studios. So they give you like literally maybe 15 minutes of the film and they'll usually cut it right at the part where you want to see what happens.
Yeah.
And then that's all you get. And then they'll bring out like a couple of actors and the director of the film to talk about the film. It was like one of those events.
It wasn't actually at the studios.
No, it wasn't at the studios.
From what I understand, those things are outstanding.
I've heard.
It's impressive.
Have you been?
Yeah.
You have?
Uh-huh, because I went and I interviewed him and some other actors from one of his movies. Katie and I went to the premiere and then they did a press junket. And got to tour some of the facilities, and that is
awesome, right?
It's really, really impressive.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you, Abby?
I'm good. I had the best kind of weekend. I went to Nashville with a friend who I never get to see because she's traveling for work constantly. She's a girl boss in her own right. And I was like, okay, I'm locking you down for my birthday weekend so we can hang out and spend 48 uninterrupted hours together just listening to country music and drinking skinny margaritas and just being delightfully debaucherous in the best kind of way. It was a really good weekend. Really had the best time and just really got to soak up a lot of good friend time, a lot of good music time, and a lot of good food time as well.
Good. All right. So I think I might be the only person in America that has spent 2.5 hours in a Dave & Buster's and never played one game.
I was right there with you.
Yeah, so we had our first big adventure reunion yesterday at Dave & Buster's in Marietta. And the way Dave & Buster's is set up, if you haven't gone, as soon as you go in, there are a couple of rooms that you can eat in, really big rooms that you can eat in. And then once you eat, then right down the hall, that's where all the games are, right? So as soon as I come in, everybody's eating, all of our Burt's Big Adventure families. And we had 95 families there yesterday. I think it was 450 people total at Dave & Buster's.
Yeah,
450.
They closed down the entire place for us. Like, Gas Al, thank you so much, and Dave & Buster's. But yeah, the whole Dave & Buster's in Marietta was ours until 2 o'clock.
And so as I walk in there, there are some families that are eating. I'm assuming there are some in the back with you guys playing games. And for 2.5 hours, I didn't make it past the place where everybody was eating because I was catching up with family so much and never made it back into the room where you guys were having all the fun.
Yeah, I was playing all the games. The kids were pulling me to every game you can imagine, so I played all the games for y'all. It's funny because I had no idea that we rented out the entire place. So at some point, I was like, it seems like everybody is from Bert's Big Adventure. And somebody was like, because it is.
I don't know what is going on in my life right now and why I'm so emotional. Maybe it's because Hollis is graduating and Hayden is graduating. I don't know. I'm just like teetering on one of those cry days you're talking about, but not in a sad way.
Yeah, just in an emotional way.
So most of the families I talked to yesterday, I was so touched by their stories of success. Like, we've got one Burt's Big Adventure kid that is now going to be going into interior designing that I've known since she was 5 years old. Some of these kids are having babies now. I'm starting to get all soft in my heart as they're telling me these stories. We got another Burt's Big Adventure family with a kid that's playing baseball now and riding a horse, which when she was on Burt's Big Adventure, that would have been unheard of. And most of the stories, I feel like I'm just holding back tears yesterday. yesterday. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, no, it was a great day. Now, I did make it back to the game room. However, I did not play one single game.
Okay.
just busy getting hugs and catching up and seeing everybody. And I love also seeing, like, how our 2025 family gets integrated to all, like, you know, to all our older families. Mm-hmm. And, like, they actually get to see now. They saw what the trip is like, and now they get to see what adventure reunions are like. And, you know, that we are one big, impressive family.
Yeah, and I like sharing this stuff with you guys because, as I said all along when it comes to Bert's Big Adventure, and if you're new here, this is a trip we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. And we, you guys actually listening, pay for everything, and we go VIP the whole way. We like to share these with you because without your guys' donations, there is no Bert's Big Adventure. And I was talking to Will Stark yesterday. Maybe that was your first day on with us?
It was.
Wow. All those years ago, was it 12, 13 years ago?
14.
14! they grow so fast. Mm-hmm. When Kristen's first day here, we were helping Will Stark out. And his story, to make a very long story short, he adopted five kids with special needs. Five kids with special needs. So clearly their family couldn't go on vacations together, right? I mean, even going down the road to a restaurant was a really big deal. This is such a tragic story. So finally, they say, you know what? We need some time for each other. So Will and his wife end up going to a cabin in Tennessee together for the weekend, and their kids watch their five adopted special needs kids. While they're up there, his wife passes away.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah.
His wife passes away on the one weekend that they have together, right? So he comes back home, and he's got nothing, man. I mean, he is tore up, and he's got nothing. And I told our Bert Show fam about it, and they built his whole life back up as much as you can. I'm not talking about emotionally. And I think, if I remember correctly, they donated $250,000 to Will and his family to get them on their feet again. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me yesterday that, and I wanted to pass this on to you guys, that this thing is so much more than going on a trip to Disney World. For him, it changed his life completely. I mean, he went from the lowest low, not knowing how he was going to get by, completely being embraced by the Bert's Big Adventure family, which is you guys listening, and you totally and completely changed his life. And that's what this trip can do.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty awesome.
That's incredible. I also love the moments when the families will take a picture of me and the kids and then show me like the difference from 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow.
Yes,
the
progression is wild.
Yes, it's very fast.
Yeah, take a look at the pictures today, especially if you've donated and you really feel good about where that money has gone for sure. And Kristen wasn't done there because you had the night before, you had a charity event also, right?
Yeah, well, Friday night.
I
hosted once again Rally on the Runway for the Rally Foundation. And if you're not familiar, the Rally Foundation is an organization that raises money for childhood cancer research. And 93 cents to the dollar goes to the research. Like they function at such a high level. I love working with them. And their advocacy going to DC to get more funding for childhood cancer. Like they're just incredible. So Rally on the Runway, 15th year, hosting it Friday night at the Georgia Aquarium. It was a beautiful event. Ronnell Blackman did a great job opening up. Kristen Sorrell, who is a rally kid. She walked in the very first Rally on the Runway. All right. So here she is. She's in her 20s now, up on stage with me, opening the show, letting everybody know that she is 16 years cancer-free, that she is about to graduate college, she's about to get her dream internship at CHOA, and she's getting married.
Wow.
Oh. So very inspirational. And of course, we had to pay... We honored in memory because we lost quite a few Rally kids this past year. So we made sure to honor them. And it was a beautiful night. There was great energy in the room. It was record attendance at a Rally on the Runway. And then at the very end of the night, Dean read the grand total and we raised $1,088,011.
What?
Wow.
What a night.
Yes.
Is that the most that they've ever raised?
Yeah.
What a night.
Yeah. It was bonkers. There was a bidding war during one of the live auction items, and it was a portrait, a monarch butterfly that a rally kid had painted years ago. She's no longer with us, so now it's tradition at Rally on the Runway that they auction it off, and then the winner gives it back. And they auction it off. So you get a print, but they keep on... Wait, I mean, I'm standing on stage with the painting and my head's just going back and forth like a tennis match. And it was like 22,000, 24,000, 27,000, 30,000. And I'm like, what is going on?
Oh, it was my amazing. God.
It was amazing.
And at the end of the night, you're over $1 million in one night.
$1,088,011. So to everybody who came out and donated, it was a really special night, Friday night.
The Burt Show.
Miss a minute of the Burt Show, you miss a whole bunch. So you're listening live right now to the Burt Show, but you're going to have to check out because you got to go into work. Where are your priorities? Either way, you can always catch up on demand. It's the same Burt Show. That's what we upload every single day. So you can listen later on in the day on your own time on any podcasting platform.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
There's one part of this new Bill Belichick CBS News interview that's going viral, and it has nothing to do with his brand new book, The Art of Winning, or his illustrious football career. Of course, it has everything to do with his controversial age gap relationship with 24-year-old Jordan Hudson.
And he's how old?
He's 73 years old, and he's still kicking out here. He has this very controversial relationship with Jordan Hudson, not just because of her age, but also she has this very vibrant presence on social media. He recently made headlines because they were doing some yoga poses down on the beach, and he had her in like an airplane style pose where he was on his back and she's laying on his feet as a grandfather would do with his granddaughter, but maybe not at the age of 73, 24.
He literally could be her grandfather, right?
Absolutely. Oh, easily. Oh, he literally could.
I don't know what company makes Viagra, but you should buy stock in it just for Bill.
So he's promoting his new book, The Art of Winning, and recently did an interview with CBS News. And of course, he talked about all the important football stuff, like, you know, like what did he see in Tom Brady that everybody else didn't see because he was like the 200th pick when he got drafted in the NFL. And he has some really interesting quotes about that saying, you know, Tom Brady's very accurate and that's why he picked him and blah, 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 blah. But the one clip that's going viral is him talking about this relationship with Jordan. So he's in the interview seat and he's talking to the journalist about everything that's going on. And the camera then pans to his girlfriend, who's sitting behind the scenes, kind of hunched over behind the computer screen. She's got her arm, or she's got her hand to her face, like she's really contemplating what's happening. Like, she looks like his PR rep. And then all of a sudden, he gets asked a question about his relationship, and she shuts it down.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
I've never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
What an innocuous question. Like, how did you meet?
Also, it's already, it's already public knowledge how they met. I can't remember what article I read where they divulged how these two met, but apparently it was on a plane. She was sitting next to him, and then he gave her like a philosophy book or something because she was a philosophy student at whatever school she just graduated from, because again, she's 24. And all of a sudden, now it's not okay to talk about?
I think it's funny because if you know anything about Bill Belichick, like he does not listen to anybody throughout his career. So the fact that he's actually taking advice from her, I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Or that's the story that they want you to know about how they met, and maybe that's not how they actually gave her a philosophy book. Come on, like that sounds so made up. So maybe he's forgetting some details, but you know what? I actually appreciate her speaking up because she's part of the relationship, and if she doesn't want it talked about, I'm not mad at it.
I don't know, man. Even if, let's say she's 60 years old and he's doing an interview, if the wife is in the background telling him what he can and cannot say, that would be off-putting. The fact that she's 24, that's a different level. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, the whole thing is so bizarre to me.
It's bizarre.
And it's something you discuss prior to the interview. It's not like you're going in there blind. A lot of times, like, you know, they make requests of seeing questions beforehand or they give you stuff that's off limits. So it's one of those things where, like, Bill's a grown man.
Very grown.
Very grown.
He's so grown, he's almost dead.
He's as grown as he can.
And if the two of them have had a discussion, if she's that involved, then they knew that they're... And so she didn't even give Bill a chance. She didn't even give Bill a beat to be like, yeah, no, we're not going to discuss that in this interview.
You know, a sidebar on this whole thing is, Bill Belichick is now the coach of UNC. Their football program. So he has to go around the country recruiting 18 and 19-year-olds with his 23 or 24-year-old girlfriend by his side.
Now that I think about it, this might just be a really good recruiting strategy.
Yeah, right.
You show up to all these high schools and you show up with your hot 24-year-old girlfriend. It's starting to make a lot of sense now. He's just a businessman. All right, people are wondering who is running Blake Lively's PR after her very controversial Time 100 speech. We'll debate if it was the right thing to do on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Bring your attitudes down to where your grades are. That is what one teacher told their class.
Just fed up at that point.
Yes.
She's just fed up.
Listen, teachers, God bless you. The patience that you must have, the patience that must wear out at a certain point. And I found a list of what was titled, "Teachers, tell me the most unhinged thing you have had to say to a student or class. Not just stop talking in class or keep your hands to yourself." Mm-hmm. I'm talking unhinged.
All right, let's give the phone number out. And we will put you on the voice disguiser if that's what you want also. 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. Teachers, today's your day to get back.
It is. So this comes from teach.it.out on Instagram. Her name is Marissa. She is a fifth-year third-grade teacher. And she asked all of her followers this question, and it went viral. And here were some of the responses. "One of my seniors told me that coffee is bad for me. I responded, so is that guy you're talking to."
Mind your business.
That kind of quickness comes from a lot of years of frustration.
Yeah. One teacher told a class, "Why are you laughing? Should I pull up your grade so we can all laugh together?"
Well done, teach.
"This isn't Starbucks, and I didn't order a Yappuccino. Stop talking right now."
Yappuccino.
And then somebody, I guess this is definitely an elementary school teacher. So somebody said this either to like a first or second graders. "You got a lot to say for someone who still has baby teeth."
That's funny.
This one was clever, from one teacher to a student. "Come here and read this email I'm going to send to your parents and tell me if I should add anything." The note to the parents.
Oh, I do like
terrible.
That.
Yeah. I remember them days.
When kids ever ask me if they have to do an assignment, I say, "No, absolutely not. Save it for next year when I have to teach it to you again." Ms. Norman, she commented. She said one student told her, "You look so much better without your glasses, Ms. Norman." And she goes, "Ha, thank you. You look so much better without my glasses, too."
Oh.
Ms. Norman had enough.
You know all the students in class, too, are like, "Oh, burn."
"I told a student my McDonald's order and told him to remember it in a couple of years when he works there." A student told me, a colleague says, "Keep talking if you're ugly." And it gets them to quiet down really quick. So if your classroom
That's clever.
Is like just yammering, just be like, "Keep talking if you're ugly."
These are not from like any rookie teachers. These are seasoned veterans that are confident in front of the class that have just been waiting.
So this one took a second to sink in. But once I got it, I was like, that is such a burn. So this is to the student that has siblings. And a teacher told their student, "You're clearly not the password child."
Oh, that's good.
Right?
Damn.
I'm going to bring that one up as well.
These teachers are digging deep.
Because you know when you be putting those passwords together, your favorite child is going to be the password child. One teacher told her student, "If you're going to roll your eyes at me, please look for a brain while you're back there because I feel like you're not using it right now."
Oh. Yo.
Again, this is an elementary school teacher, probably. "I'm not offended by people who have a bedtime."
Nice. Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
You got to break these kids, man. You got to break them.
Humble them.
And then the last one I got for you, a student told me in front of the class that he's a 10, and I responded, "Out of 100.
Was that the math teacher?
Probably. Probably.
All right, Mo was telling us a couple of weeks ago that he had this important decision to make between two family members. numbers, and now Cassie seems to be in the same place.
I'm surprised I made it this far, actually. It's graduation season, and my nephew Lucas is graduating from high school, and my sister is graduating with her PhD from Tulane, and I'm so impressed. So proud of her because it's been such a long time coming. Luckily, Lucas's graduation, he's up north, so it's in June, and Alyssa's is in May. So there's one conflict, though, and it's my daughter's pre-K graduation is the same day, almost the exact same time as my sister's PhD hooding ceremony. And I'm a little torn on what to do because obviously getting a PhD, very different from graduating pre-K. Like, one is obviously way more important. But this is my daughter, and I already miss out on so much school stuff because I'm a working mom, and I don't want her to graduate from pre-K with her friends and look into the audience and not see her mom there. And so I'm like, do I go to my sister's hooding ceremony for something? She's literally traveled the world to put the research together. I can't even, like, understand the opening statement of her dissertation. It's about mosquitoes and malaria and water content in the air and altitude, all this stuff to fight malaria. Like, she is graduating with epidemiology. She's going to be a doctor of tropical medicine. Like, this is intense stuff that saves lives, and I'm really proud of her. But my daughter's graduating for pre-K. So how do you choose?
So you said just a little bit ago that, you know, one, like, it's obvious one is more important than the other. I disagree. I think they're both equally important. Obviously, your sister and what she accomplished is a little more difficult. Took a lot of work, took a lot of effort. And my knee-jerk reaction is, I know how proud you are of your sister, but would be to go to the pre-K graduation.
I've got a different take on this. As a guy that has two grown kids now, and now is like struggling with them both graduating one college and one high school, I understand where you're coming from, man. But from the elevation that I'm at, your daughter is never going to remember if you were in that audience or not. This is pre-K. She's graduating from babysitting. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Your sister, that's a different situation. I mean, that's so complicated, and she's really, really earned that. Your daughter's not going to remember if you're in that audience or not, especially
for
pre-K.
So?
No.
Absolutely not. My sister is in New Orleans. Maybe she'll be so drunk she won't remember either.
I actually do remember my kindergarten graduation. It was because I remember we had a fashion show, and you had to walk down an aisle for whatever reason after you graduated. That's what they had all of the kids do. And I only remember it because I ran. Like, you were supposed to walk, but I was so afraid that I ran. And to this day, I remember my mom being there and my dad not being there.
Really?
I really do. I actually do. So if it were me, I feel like your kids, they're always priority. Like, no one can be mad at you for having to show up for you.
It's pre-K.
No, it's a big deal.
It doesn't matter.
They learned the difference between green and blue.
No, it's not about that. It's about the fact that, God, they grow so fast, right? And they change so much in such a short period of time. And it's not about what they've learned in pre-K. It's about the fact that, she's going to be in like a real school, like a big school. Like, she's going to kindergarten.
Yes. And she's going to kindergarten. And also in my head is every time I walk out the door, hey, mama's got to go to work. Mama's got to go take a meeting. Mm-hmm. I've got an event. Mm-hmm. Again, you got to go to work again, and it's
that's very how I feel every morning.
Yeah,
I just did this.
Yeah. So I was trying to think back to my either kindergarten or pre-K graduation, just to see, like, as somebody who has, you know, mommy issues, how would this affected me? And yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember my pre-K graduation. I don't remember my kindergarten graduation. Not saying that Hazel's not going to, but I feel like you would be able to make this up more. Or as a parent, like, I think you could have a conversation with Hazel and say, hey, I have to miss it because of your aunt and blah, 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 blah. Why don't we go to a really special brunch or a really special dinner to celebrate you graduating pre-K? That way she knows that you care and that you know that you are, that missing it is a big deal to you. But at the same time, like, you still get to be there for your sister's graduation for curing malaria or
like
whatever.
Her advisor is flying in from Maine to hood her.
Right. How old is she?
Who, my sister or my daughter?
Your daughter?
5.
Okay, so I think it's time for a decision for her. Okay. It's a business proposition, all right? Would you rather mommy go to your pre-K graduation, or would you rather watch one more hour of Bluey.
She's beyond that. She'll probably extort me for like 3 boxes of popsicles.
She can be bought off at this point.
Yeah, fair. That is fair.
Well, ask yourself too, because yes, this is about your little, but think if I know you can't foresee the future, which one are you going to regret missing?
Probably my daughter's pre-K graduation, but the guilt over, like, that's the problem, is the guilt is over both, because I understand what it went into, like, getting a PhD is insane what they have to do. And so I'm like, that's why I'm like, I feel guilty. And at this point, I just might, like, get drunk and sleep the day away and be like, whoops, sorry, guys.
I understand where you're coming from, because here I am, again, on the cusp of everybody graduating. Oh, my kid's graduating, right? And you really do take a look at the pictures. And when you're experiencing this for the very last time, you do realize that cliche is absolutely so true that I didn't listen to back in the day, that it's going to go by so quickly, you're going to blink, and they're going to be graduating. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I've got all the time in the world. And now that it's actually here, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it's over, right? Yep. So I do have that experience also. So I understand how important that is. But I also think in the overall scheme of things, still, she's in pre-K. She's not going to remember it. This is more for you than it is for her, for sure.
I appreciate that. But I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to be a bad sister. I mean, I will always choose my kids first, but
you're not a bad sister. You're not a bad sister for going to your daughter's pre-K graduation.
And I know my sister would totally understand. Yeah. I'm just annoyed at Tulane for not calling me and checking my calendar before they scheduled all of this, okay?
I'm in the minority here because most people are saying go to the daughter's pre-K graduation. Hey, Kim, good morning.
Kim? Kimmy?
Kim says ghost everyone.
Don't go anywhere.
Hey, Beth, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Hey, so what I'm thinking is, like, I'm also a working mom, and I feel like I miss a lot of my daughter's stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But what we always try and do is have my husband go to some stuff. So what if your husband goes to your daughter's graduation and FaceTimes you on a giant iPad? That way your daughter can still, like, see your face in the audience, and you can still see what's going on while you're at your sister's graduation.
I do love that, but the problem is they're literally, like, they're at the exact same time, and I just don't feel right being on a phone in the middle of, like, Tulane's PhD hooding ceremony. It feels weird. Love the idea, though.
Helen says, forget about your daughter. Go to the sisters. Hey, Helen, good morning.
Actually, I was going to tell you, I have a doctorate, and none of my siblings were at my ceremony. We just celebrated afterwards.
Okay, and that didn't hurt your feelings?
She ain't say she didn't cut them off. She ain't say that part.
Can you just have Chad hold one of those big old Cassie fatheads up?
Yeah. I'm not around enough anyway. My kid won't know the difference.
You stop it. Stop it.
The Burt Show.
I don't know how my ex-wife and I allowed this to happen over the weekend, because we've been so good about it, but it totally slipped our minds, I think. So it's our 17-year-old's last prom was this weekend. I am struggling with these lasts, man. He's the youngest one, and yeah, just these lasts have really started to hit me hard. Like, oh my God, this is going to be the last time we do this. It's the last time we do that. In August, I'm bringing them up to college. I'm moving them into college.
My mind is blown, because when I came in to interview for this job, I had lunch with your wife at 10 Lizzie's.
Yeah.
And Hollis was 3.
Yes.
And I don't know why I remember this. They had like these license plate looking things on the table or something. And he was reading the letters and numbers on the license plate. And I'm like, wow, you're a smart little booger.
Yeah, that's right. Last time he's read. So he had prom this weekend. And I don't know how we managed to let this slip. But before prom, everybody at the school, the parents and the kids, got together at Piedmont Driving Club, and they had a picture type deal where the parents take pictures with their kids. All the kids take pictures together also. They're all there in their tuxes, and the girls are in their formal dresses, all looking great, right? Well, Stacy was the one that was taking the pictures for all of the families and for the school also. So as Stacy does, and I say this in the most loving way, taking control of the situation, barking out commands left and right, making sure everybody's in the right spot. No, you're too tall. You come down here. You go to the left. You go to the right, right? And she's so focused on getting the kids ready that she's taking these great pictures, fantastic pictures. And I'm on the side. I'm watching everything going down, and I'm taking pictures with my iPhone also, but she's got her little fancy camera over there. So Hollis and I take a picture together on the side. I'm assuming she took a picture with Hollis by herself, but we didn't get any pictures together with our kid on his last prom.
You're going to have to Photoshop something together.
Yeah, that's an important one, man.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. And I didn't even realize it until I was looking through the pictures last night. Mm-hmm. And Amanda, my girlfriend, said, "Did you and Stacy get any pictures?" I'm like, "We did not."
You got to make them get dressed up again. We got to redo this.
That'll never happen. So then that was on Saturday night. Was that Saturday night or Friday? Saturday night. So he had his prom on Saturday night, and Stacy had the post-prom party at her house. There's a whole bunch of people over at her place. So the kid, and she had a whole bunch of his friends spend the night there also, right? So before that, I went over, hung out with him pre-prom and his friends, tried to get their ties all straight and stuff like that, and watched him, hung out with them a little bit before this whole pre-prom ceremony. And then after, that's when Stacy took over. She did the heavy lifting. That's where the kids were after prom, right? So on Sundays, that's generally my custody day. On the weekends that I don't have them all weekend, I get them on Sunday and Monday and a Tuesday morning. So, and just the way that the weekends have been set up lately, if you've gone through a divorce and you have this custody thing going on, you just can't get enough time with your kids, you know? And sometimes if you miss a weekend, then you have to go 2 weeks without seeing them if it doesn't work for your significant other. If you're handling this properly, you usually trade weekends when something comes up. Well, it just turns out that I hadn't seen Hollis in like 3 weekends, man. I'm missing this kid hard because I know he's going to be leaving in August. So I couldn't wait to talk to him on Sunday about everything I've missed the last couple of weeks, even though we text each other and we talk to each other, but really sitting down with him. So it goes prom, after prom until 4 a.m. He had told me that. He texted me that. It was a long night. And I saw him on Sunday morning because Amanda and I went over to Stacy's house and brought breakfast for the kids while Stacy was making breakfast also. So I could see they were all beat, man. They went hard. They went really hard. So he gets over to my house last night at about 5:00. And I've told you before, what Hollis and I will do is we're not really two guys that sit down to dinner and talk about our days or our weeks one-on-one like that. Generally, what we do is we'll turn SportsCenter on or we'll have a sporting event on. And then while it's happening, he'll tell me what's going on in his life and I'll pause it. And then we talk and then we start watching the game again. And then I'll pause it. And then we start talking about what's going on in my life. And we kind of do this dance back and forth together. So he sits down while I'm watching a baseball game. And I pause it while he was telling me about prom night. And then we start watching the game again. And then I pause it. And then I start telling him the same thing I told you guys. Because he's deeply religious. Catholic. Deeply religious. So I'm like, oh, man. I got to tell you about this profound experience that I had at church this week, which I told you guys about. And I'm rattling off exactly in the same description to him as I did to you guys, how I had this voice in my head and I was questioning if it was me or if it was God talking to me and I'm really getting into it. Silence. And I look over, my kid's crashed out. I got to spend 10 minutes with my kid last night, and he was on that couch sleeping from 5:30 to 9:30 last night, man.
No.
Zero, man. So that's why, Cassie, when you're saying, like, when you're struggling with, like, the pre-K stuff, should you go to a graduation? The truth is, man, it does go by very, very, very quickly, man. I understand where you're coming from.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm going to warn you, I'm getting all the controversial figures out of the way in one singular e-buzz. We're just going to knock them both out. And I'm going to give you a content warning for SA because it does come up in Blake Lively's Time 100 Gala speech because people are wondering who the heck is running her PR after this very controversial speech she gave over the weekend. Somehow, Ryan Reynolds paid their way into getting honored as one of Time 100's most influential people. That can be debated whether or not you think they deserve that honor or not. What we are talking about right now is a speech that Blake Lively gave in the middle of it. And a lot of people feel like, where was this energy in August? So I've covered this 1,000 times. We know this by now. Blake Lively got a lot of flack for not speaking up for victims of domestic violence when she was promoting a movie quite literally about domestic violence. So when she stood up in the middle of this speech and then decided to... I'll talk about that in a second. Basically, just use her mom's trauma as a way to garner attention for a rallying cry that she did in the, during her speech. It just felt a little disingenuous.
But at her urging and her unwavering bravery, she wanted me to share with you that she is a survivor of the worst crime someone can commit against a woman. I've watched her conceal her raw and undeserved shame my entire life. So as her daughter, being asked to share this today is monumental. If we name it, we change it. Just as our fellow Time 100 honoree, the incredible Gisèle Pelicot, put it to every woman who understood, it's not for us to have shame. It's for them.
So watching this go viral, and it's a harrowing story,
mm-hmm.
and I commend her mother for coming forward with it, or like allowing Blake to come forward with it. I'm in the camp of, where was this energy when you were promoting the DV movie? Like, the timing is so unfortunate. The message is getting lost in the timing, because while you were promoting a movie about DV, this would have been the time to share the story and really connect with people, rather than, you know, making more light of the promotional campaign around the movie.
This feels like a calculated PR move now.
Unfortunately, it does. And I hate that, because I'm not dismissing what happened to, like, you don't want to take away from the story. You don't want to dismiss what happened to her mother, because it's heartbreaking. And I mean, that is trauma in its purest form. But to be to be selected Times 100 most influential people, and then use that platform to share the story, it makes you turn your head like, why not share this while you were promoting the movie? Because it makes so much sense.
Because she was doing just the opposite when she was promoting the movie, right? Going, go with all you girls.
Unless her mom.
Wear your floral dresses. And then women were getting there going, what is this movie about?
Unless her mom was like, no, I'm not ready to share this yet, and now has had a change of heart. I mean, then that's all very plausible. But I really think she thought that this was going to make her more likable, and it's actually had the opposite effect.
Which, it's fair to say that maybe her mom wasn't ready to share her story in August, but at the same time, her mom did go through that harrowing experience, but that should make you have all the more sensitivity when it came around. So that's why people feel like it's so disingenuous. It's like, oh, now you care about women's struggles and the safety issues that they go through on a daily basis. Like, I, it was so brave to stand up and to tell that story, and her mom was right there with her, holding her hand. And really, like, it is a very sweet moment. But at this point, like, I think what people want to see from Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds is just a shred of humility. Maybe the way to fix this situation isn't to stand up and use your mom's trauma as a way to slather a band-aid on this whole PR mess. Maybe it's to take a step back and go, you know, maybe I should really reflect on where I went wrong in August, or maybe I should take a step back and focus on this lawsuit that I'm going through.
Yeah, with these celebrities, sometimes I think it's like too late to go to down to earth school. To humble school. You know, she's been in this environment her entire life. And I think that Gayle King is going through this right now also, is that you live in this bubble and you get so detached from reality and from real people that it's impossible to learn the lesson at 37 or 38 or 39 years old.
And I get that. And it's hard when you're on the world stage and you have a million people giving their opinions about what you have or have not done or how you handled this. Like, I get it. It's tough. But at the end of the day, like, it's just, she needs a new PR team, I think, is really the moral of the story here.
Well, I also think, you know, and I'm just assuming here, I'll never know this kind of celebrity, but I think as you become a celebrity and you get all caught up in that whole LA scene and stuff like that also, I think the friends that you have, for the most part, as an overreaching opinion, is that they probably, the ones that grew up with you and the humble ones around you, probably fall away, and you start to surround yourself with people that are a lot like you in that Hollywood lifestyle, and they're just as detached as you are. So who do you take advice from?
Yeah, and it's tough because, I mean, they were one of the most beloved couples of all time in Hollywood. So to fall from grace, I understand you just want to get back to that place, but they got to understand, like, the road getting there is going to look a lot different, and it's not just using a story to try and garner some sympathy for your life and what your family's gone through. All right, people online are not happy with Steven Wilson Jr. performance of the national anthem at the NFL draft. We are going to discuss the controversy on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.